God's Word, faithfully preached, is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives, delivering them from the shackles of sin, the flesh, and the world, and transforming them into useful vessels through whom Jesus can pour out His blessings. Living Seed invites you to a feast of the truth as God's servant brings to us the Word of Life.
Genesis chapter 2, I'll read verse 18, then I will read verse 21 down to verse 25. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now that's Genesis. Let's go quickly to Matthew and chapter 19. Are you in Matthew 19? Right. And he answered, I'm reading from verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Therefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." Now follow me to chapter 5 of Ephesians. Ephesians. All I'm dealing with tonight is how to build a vibrant, a victorious marital relationship. That's what I'm concerned about today. I pray that God will give me help to be able to be explicit as much as possible in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Ephesians chapter 5. Are you in Ephesians 5 already? Okay. I'd like to read from verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. May the Lord increase his word to our hearts as we read and as we study the manual together in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, so we have read from Genesis, we have read from the Gospel, and we have read from the Epistles. Now, these are the three tripod stand on which the Christian life must be built. The Christian life is not going to find equilibrium if our foundation is not properly rooted in what God intended it to be from the beginning. And our foundation is not going to be strong if it does not take cognizance, that is, if it does not pay very close attention to what Jesus, the pattern Son of God, had come to say. And when we go to the epistles, we see how men who have experienced this same great salvation like ours have walked in the light of the truth. And so when I look at the matter of marriage, I found that it was so crucial that Genesis did not omit it. Hallelujah. Jesus did not omit it. And the epistles had a lot to say about it. Before I can go on today to talk about building, I'd like to tell you that there are two things that is pushing me to talk about marriage. I'd like to tell you there are two things. And when I realize that the condition of your marriage is so crucial in what you will become for God, whether God will answer your prayer or not, it becomes a very serious matter for me as an individual. I realize that ministry, preaching the word of God, is very good. It's very good. But a preacher whose marriage has collapsed has no business on the pulpit. Are you hearing me at all? One of the serious conditions that we find in the word of God, so when you want to appoint somebody onto leadership, if you read your Bible continuously and very sincerely, you will find that one of the first conditions for any man to become an elder in the local church, or an overseer, or a pastor, or even a deacon, one of the very primary conditions is the situation of his family life. Am I right? When you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, when you turn to Titus chapter 1, when you go through all the places where leadership is supposed to be, men are supposed to be brought into leadership. He said, it must be the husband of one wife. It must be a man whose wife is grave and who had been able to rule his own house. He said, for if a man cannot rule his own house well, how can he do what? Rule the church of God. So for any man that wants to do anything for God, any man that wants to sing for Jesus, or any man that wants to preach for Jesus, or anybody that wants to do something that heaven is going to respect, the condition of your family life is critical. Never mind this present time when there's so much confusion among people who are self-made preachers who can beat their wives and still come and prophesy on the pulpit. Never mind those kind of people who could put away their wives. They put one in the village, they put another one in UK, and they are still pastors. I am sure that when we get to heaven, there will be great surprises. There will be people that you think are very popular, that when we get to heaven, you say, where is Reverend so-and-so? And where is Reverend Dr. So-and-so? And they say, oh, Reverend Dr. So-and-so, we don't know him here. Check him on the other side. And how terrible it will be that one of the things that may make men to miss their crown is because their family life had broken down. And so I know no matter how zealous a man is, no matter how serious a man is, no matter how energetic he is concerning the work of God, when his family life is not in shape, that man is scattered. God does not respect even his activity. When I came to that realization, when I came to understand, and I'm going to be studying the Bible with you very deliberately tonight, but I want to say to you that I am not just doing this meeting because it's a pleasurable meeting. I am not just, you know, looking at this because we just wanted to have some information. I wanted to know that it is as critical as speaking about what will take you to heaven. As I'm talking to you now, the family is the greatest target of the devil all over the world. I have been praying that such things will not come to our country. But it's so terrible that when you go to Oyibo country, their marriages have finished. I went to a country, and actually, when you say you want to marry, and you go to the registry, they will advise you not to change your name yet. Because according to their statistics, more than 80% of weddings they have conducted scattered in the first 2 years. So, they don't even talk about it anymore. They don't talk about it. And gradually, they are no more even talking about husband and wife now. They are only talking about partners. Gradually, marriage is being pushed aside. And we now have children that are growing in a wilderness. Because they never actually grow out of a family. So what is the challenge for building your home? I put two challenges before you. It's because your family life is a litmus test of where you stand with God. Your importance, as far as heaven is concerned, can only be measured according to the state of your family life. Your spirituality is only tested where? By your family life. So, but as I'm looking at the manufacturer's manual, and as I'm checking that God has given us biblical principles and values by which our homes can be run, as we will be praying tonight, we will take some of these principles together, and as we take them, my request of you is to submit your heart directly to the Lord and say, you are a witness. I don't want to fail where it matters most. Hallelujah. Those that are yet to be married, I have been praying that you won't be wrongly married. You will marry correctly. The reason is because if you make a shipwreck with your marriage, you have made a shipwreck indeed. There is something that goes wrong with a man once his marriage goes wrong. And unless God will intervene, it's a very terrible damage. So will you now, from the background of a need that is very apparent, let's follow what is God's way of building a correct, a vibrant, a victorious family. The first beginning of a victorious family is in verse 18, Genesis 2:18. And I want to begin by saying, he said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make for him and help meet for him. What does that mean? For your marriage to have a proper foundation for building, you must trace it to God. Are you with me at all? For you to have a victorious and a vibrant relationship with your husband or with your wife, you must be able to trace that relationship to who? To God. You must be able to say, and the Lord God said, it is not good for me to be alone, and that he is the one that led me to this woman. To the young people, are you with me? Eh? For you to have a marriage that will stand the test of time, the Lord must say it. Don't enter into a relationship with someone now that you are hearing me and you are not married yet, unless God has said it. The only invariable factor in any relationship is God. And if you cannot boldly say, it is God that led me into this marriage, you will be in trouble tomorrow. But when I'm saying that to those that are here to get married. Those of you that are married, you are married. Did you hear me? You are already married. Settle down. Help me tell every married woman, settle down, you are married. Settle down, settle down. Settle down. There is no way of saying, you have done it. No looking back. Just settle down. That's the man you have married, and that's your man. We are going to see how God can work it out. But you are married. Will you accept? Accept first. Say, I am married. I am married. I am married. That's important. To be a married man or a married woman, and you say, I wish Brother Silas is my husband. You have missed it. Brother Silas is not your husband, and he cannot be your husband, and he will never be your husband. You are married. Young brother, Cecilia is not your wife. The one you have married, what is her name? Eh? you know. That's the one you have married. Whether Cecilia is singing like insect, forget about Cecilia. You are married. Now, but to those that are here to get married, it is important for me to say to you that for your marriage to have a direct bearing and a focus and a strength to go through life and storm, one matter must be uncompromisingly settled. It is that God said it. Don't say, I don't know him, but my friend Rebecca was the one that recommended him and said he's a nice man. Excuse me. The day you finish your wedding like this, it's just that you don't always know. Before the wedding, do you notice that everybody is coming around? Eh? Those that are carrying flower, those that are carrying this, those that are carrying that, those are carrying the, they carry everything. Once they pronounce you married, immediately there's a loneliness that settles on all couples. Am I correct? Everybody is gone. Your friends are gone. Your parents are gone. Well-wishers are gone. You are face to face with the man you marry. Finished. It is terrible, sir, that some marriages broke the first day. As they now were alone, facing themselves, the great surprise happened. Hey! So you are like this. He said, well, that's how I am. Whatever you want to do, do. I've married you already. My friend, no friend can go with you into marriage. Parents cannot follow you into it. Church, the Do you follow people into marriage? How far can you go, Baba? Only here. This is the only place. Once you finish, that's all. Before you say yes to a man, don't only look at his face. Don't look at his sugar-coated mouth. Let's be sure that you have heard God say, it is not good for you to be alone. I want you to go with this man. I really want to say to you tonight that every marriage that succeeds, the Lord God must be central to it. What did I say must be central? The Lord God. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. I want you to see what God did there. He caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And I don't want to explain that very casually. I don't. I want to explain it very carefully. Do you know why? I found that each of the things that God did in Genesis, they were not casual. They were supposed to be not only the upholding principles, they are not just foundational principles, but they are supposed to be the upholding principles of a vibrant marital relationship. What is it? Now, I just want you to read that scripture as if you are reading it in a medical situation. When you want to go for a surgical operation, what does the doctor first do before they begin to do the surgery? Mom? What do they do first? They will make you sleep. They will put you onto some dosage of anesthesia. Am I correct? Excuse me, why do they do that? Auntie, yes? To prevent sensitivity and disturbance and pains. Do you know what it meant? The doctor himself knows that as long as you are sensitive, as long as you are agile, and as long as you are seeing what he is doing, when he's bringing knife, hey, doctor, don't cut me, stop. And if he just wanted to cut a small section, as you're, no, he may mistakenly cut what he did not intend to cut. So for the doctor to find space to walk without disturbance, what does he do first? He will put you to sleep. A very deep sleep. One day, my wife rushed back from the hospital, from the theater where she was operating somebody, and she was sweating. And I asked, what happened? They said, that case, we have to amputate that leg. I said, with what will you do? Said they got a Panasol. Sometimes they need very serious, almost carpentry equipment to cut bones. I say, how could you cut somebody's leg like that? He said, we put him to sleep. If we lie, we can hang the leg up like this to give us space to do what we are doing. Sometime, we can open the womb, the stomach, and pack the whole of the intestine, put it aside like this, and keep new. I say, God, is that what you people do? Yes. What gives them that kind of chance? The man had been put to sleep. And I realize that for God to produce the woman that will fit into the life of a man, that man has to first and foremost accept divine anesthesia. I found that the greatest hindrance unto producing a woman that can fit your life is not first and foremost with the woman, it's with you. Husband, are you with me at all? You don't like to hear that. You've heard preachers that every time they say, Madam, keep quiet when your husband talks, make you listen. You like that. But when you go somewhere and they leave the wife and they face the man, no. That man doesn't know what is the talk. Let me inform you, honestly speaking, before God can deal with a woman, whom does he deal with first? Is the man. Before God can produce the wife that we become a help meet for your life, you need to accept the work of grace on your own life, on your own character. I like to say that brokenness in the life of the man is the first precondition for him to have a marriage that is glorious. There are many issues that you may wish I will say to the wife, which I will say later on. But I'd like to say that is not where it begins from. It begins from me. It begins from you as the husband. Have you accepted for God to work on you? Have you agreed for the Lord Almighty to perform a surgical operation on your character, on your life, on your impatience, on your strength, on your ability, on your muscle? Has God been allowed to walk even on your mouth? Whereas you may think that women, they talk too much. It is true that women talk a lot. They talk cha 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 all the time. They are talking. But what you don't know is this. One single sentence that comes from the mouth of a man, it can scatter what a woman had been putting together for 1 week. You are not with me. Oh.
When a woman has done all she knows how to do, and the other one say, and so what? That single sentence has finished everything. And if I allow women to open their mouth to talk, you will find that one of the greatest struggles that your wives have had with you is in the matter of what you say. Communication has been the greatest problem that wives have found with husbands. When he is annoyed, when a woman is annoyed, she talks more. At least you will know she's annoyed. But when the man is annoyed, he enters the shelf. Then he is reading the Bible sometime or reading newspaper. And darling, what is it? I want us to talk about, and so what? What would you like to eat? Anything. When are you going to where you say you are going? Anytime. What of that matter we are talking about? What? You know what we call that kind of communication? Short wave communication. Short wave. He only speaks one word or two syllables. After the woman has talked, say, This, anyway. And before you know it, he has dressed up. It is when he has got to the door. He said, tell your mom that I have gone. Now that's the woman he left in the room. Oh. When you begin to send the boy, tell your mother. We know something has happened. And there are several wives that are staying with husbands and the man has not talked to them for 2 months. May the Lord help us. Amen. Now, the first matter I saw is the Lord God wanting to perform a miracle, he must begin with the husband. And I like to note that unless a man has experienced the brokenness that comes from the Lord Jesus, he will not be a tender husband. He will not be a husband that is accommodating enough. And young people, if the Lord has not prevailed over your own life, if you have not accepted a divine operation of God on your own personal inner life as a young brother, the excitement you have about marriage will not last. All the love letters you are writing, I love you, I love you, it will not go anywhere. There's need for God to break your life before you can become a faithful husband that can build a correct marriage.
Hallelujah. And the Bible said, and he slept. I was happy with that. That meant he cooperated. Is that all right? He agreed with God. And what God did was that God wounded him in order to create a space in his life for the woman. Oh, these are very technical problems, but God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Can I say this? For a woman to fit into your life, there is need for space. What did I say? There's need for space. Some of us, we don't have space for our wives. Some of us, we are so self-sufficient that woman had no space. There is nowhere she can plug her life inside of you. But for a man to be the kind of husband that God is looking for, is a man of space. Is a man that your wife can enter into your life, come in and come out of your fullness. Hallelujah. The man that will be the right husband, I said, is a man in whom God has already done what? Created a space. A space of tolerance. A space of acceptance. You are going to see it now. A space that will give your wife opportunity to be herself yet inside of you. A space that will allow your wife to be herself. And you know when I'm saying to be herself, sometime when your wife wants to be herself, it can be irritating. Hallelujah. The things that matters to your wife, the thing that she carry seriously to you, the question is, say, what is that? Is that why you are crying? Why do you carry this thing so much? That's how a man talks. But when you have got space, you can allow her to be the woman that God wants her to be without any problem, because there is a space in your life for the woman to enter. God will help us. But I will go on a bit. Can I go a little further? So in verse 22, the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. I'm not stopping in verse 22 yet. I want to go a bit further. Now I want you to see something that is happening to the man in verse 23. And Adam said, what did he say? This. All of you take note of that this. What it is? This. Singular. THIS. Have you noticed that? This. Not these. For your marriage to have a correct direction, there must be a singularity of your devotion. Oh, are you with me at all? This, not these, not this and this and this and this and this and that. Mm-mm. This one, singular and particular. This is the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called what? Woman, because she was taken out of man. This, I said, when we use the word this, it means singularity. It also points at particularity. Marriage will not succeed if you are not singularly devoted to this woman. Hallelujah. Your marriage will not succeed if she is just one among several others. The day you get married, sir, all others, what must they do? They must fade out. You can't think of them anymore. You can't give them consideration. You cannot combine them. It's not possible. And for so many marriages that have been in trouble, it is because this principle of the Word of God was not followed. This is the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of man. Therefore, for this reason, shall a man leave. What does it mean to leave? Eh? To let go. Leave his father and his mother and shall do what? What's the meaning of to cleave? To hold tight. You know, in our culture, who is expected to leave? It's the woman. And I can imagine how many of us just married for the family. Your wife is the general wife. Once you married her, everybody in the house is her husband. This one say, Rekia, come and sweep this place. Another one say, you have not pounded the tuwo. Another one say, what of my water? And you will sit down one corner and say, make you do amo. You are a wife. There's a serious problem here today. The women are happy with me. They said yes. They said yes. Uh-huh. For once, you have got Brother Gule on our side. No. I am on your side. I'm on the side of the Lord, isn't it? Now, I'm only reading the manufacturer's manual. I realize that in Genesis, it said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave. In Matthew, it said, for this cause. In Ephesians, it says, for this cause. It means it is universal.
It means it is compulsory. It means that for marriage, for a Christian home to be properly built, my brother, this, not this, and this, no. Let's establish that your marriage does not include your junior brother. Oh, brother, do you understand? Your junior brother is very good, he's very close to you, but he's not part of this. Your junior sister is not part of this. Your cousin is not part of it. And I would like to inform you. Can I inform you the last one that you like to hear? Even your children, they are not part of this. God will bless you with children. Are you hearing me? But they are not part of the marriage. Your children are passengers. Oh, you didn't know. They are passengers. They are passerbys. Your marriage precedes the children. And after the children will have dropped as passengers at their own various destinations, your marriage continues. So, when we are talking, he said, this, there is need for every husband to be able to focus with singularity and particularity. This is the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. You know why? Not because she's beautiful, not because she's cooking very well, not because she's earning some big money. Mm-mm. It's because she is taken out of me. Are you hearing me at all? Your wife is your bone that was taken out of you. Her size is you. What you are seeing about your wife, are you hearing me? That is your size that many of us don't know about. And you will see how the Bible is putting it now. But before I go, I want to draw for you to see two more things that will make the building of your relationship as husband and wife and as a family to become smooth and progressive. And to fulfill the purpose of God, you need to see this. He said, this is now bone of my bones. You see, when he used the word of, you see the preposition in that Bible verse is of. Bone of my bones. I don't know how to express that in simple language. This one is bone that is taken out of my bones. I wish that becomes clear to you. That your wife is not of another origin. She is not another that is trying to come to you. What is she? She is part of you. She is actually you that has been brought back to fill up you.
This is serious.
Your wife is not a stranger that you are trying to help. Your wife is not that girl. She is not that girl. She is you that has been brought back to fill up the gap that has been in your life for many years. She is not a different person. Oh my God. Do you understand that now? Do you understand that now? Please, may God give you understanding. That woman is not a different species that you just went and you are trying to. She is the bone that was taken out of my bones. She's my bone, actually. Do you know what that man is saying? This is me. Hallelujah. Oh, God. So when you go to the book of Ephesians, it says, no man ever yet hated his own self. When a man loves his wife, what has he done? He has just loved himself. It's nothing big to love yourself. If a man, so now listen. What is this? This is my hand. Am I right? Now, supposing I wounded this hand. This hand was wounded, or he has problem. But I have to be on the pulpit to preach tomorrow morning. And the doctor says, we need to treat this hand at 9 a.m. What can I do? Can I send my hand? Say, you this hand, you like to trouble somebody. Quickly go to doctor and let him treat you. When you finish, meet me where I am preaching. Can I do that? Why can I not do that? It's my hand, it's part of me. Where I am, there will my hand be. Hey, you are with me? So even though it is this only finger that has problem, how many of us go to the doctor? Eh? The whole of me. And when I'm going to doctor, when anybody say, Ragwile, what's happening? What do I say? I say, I have a problem. Do I say, this my finger has a problem? Is that what I say? This finger has a problem. In fact, it troubles somebody. So I just, is that what I will say? As a reasonable human being, what do I say? I say, I have a problem with my finger. And when they are going to call, do they call my finger to see the doctor? Whom do they call? They said, Brother Gbile Akane. I say, yes, sir. Now come. Then when I come, what do? I carry the finger. When the man is talking, he talks to my finger. Whom does he talk to? Oh, my Father. Do you hear what I'm dealing with tonight? The woman that you have married is you. Her problem is your problem. Her success is not her own, it's yours. Where she goes, there you will be.
is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman. She doesn't have a different name. She's woman because she's taken out of who? Out of me. Praise the Lord. Before I leave this matter, he now says, therefore, for this cause, shall a man, for this cause, I want God to help you to know that your mother is not the bone of your bone. Excuse me, whose bone is your mother? Good. Your mother is your father's bone. If you carry your mother's bone, you carry another man's bone. It will never fit. There are so many things that a state comes in your life that your mother cannot fit. She can only cry. She cannot do anything. The reason is because she belongs to another. The one that belongs to you is this woman that God has given you. So the Bible said, and the rib, and I began to speak about that rib yesterday, that the Lord took from the man, made he what? A woman. Hey, madam, do you know who you are? Who are you? You are his rib. Oh, may God help you to know this. You are just one rib. The rest part of you, where is it located? It's with him. It's with him, oh. It's with him, oh. If you are dangling like this, anybody that sees you, if they are reasonable, they will say, where is your head? Madam, where is your head? Where is the rest part that makes you meaningful? A woman that is not fitted into her husband's life is a headless woman. Oh, the identity, what will give you identity in life is that man, is the one that carries all the identity. You will not be known correctly except in him. So, the only thing the Bible says to a woman, very, very simple, but it's the most important thing. Do you know what it says? It says, wives, do what? Submit. I wish I could describe that. The way it means is this. Madam, enter. Are you hearing me? Enter. Put your head where? Inside the man. When you have entered, everything will just... How do you put that in Hausa language? Shikena. When you have entered, everything will fit.
And I want to inform you, what you need to see, God didn't necessarily struggle to put it here. Where did he keep it? Where did he keep it? He kept it in the head. If you want to see road, enter and make him carry you properly. Oh no. It's not easy, Abby. You have not read verse 22 very well. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. And what did he do? Brought her. Hey, you are not reading your Bible now. Is it the man that God brought to the woman? Eh? Sister, I'd like to inform you that God, according to the original design, is going to bring you into him. Hallelujah. Your opinion, wonderful as it is, when you are ready to marry, what do you do with your opinion? You carry it. To do what? Oh my God. Are you following me, sir? What you are carrying come. What do you do? And we will no longer see your own separate opinion anymore. Where will it be now? Inside him. Sister, are you willing for that? Young sister, that young man that you are saying you want to marry, can I tell you what will happen? You will enter him. You will enter him complete. It is his identity that will become your identity. It is his direction in life that will become your direction. It is his focus that will become your focus. It is his vision that will become the vision. All that God is giving you and putting in your life, he will bring it into him. And he brought her to the man. Many, many marriages are not working well. Do you know why? The woman has come with something. And the man is here with his own. And the madam is saying, before I married you, this is who I am. And I don't want it to be what? To be lost. Do your own, make I do my own. If you need me to help you, I can help you. But I know what I'm doing. Madam, you don't know what you are doing. Are you hearing me? You don't know what you are doing, no? When you know what you are doing, you will enter him. Sister, do what? Enter him. Bring all your intelligence and do what? And enter. You know how to organize things very well. Bring all your organizational ability and do what? Enter. You know how to make money, Abi? Bring all that and do what? And enter him. That's how it is, oh. When God had finished making the woman, do you know what he did? He brought her.
He brought her unto the man. Madam, please read all your books. Get all your degrees. Get the first degree, get the second degree, get the third degree, get the fourth degree. If there is fifth degree, collect. But when you are coming to marry, bring everything and do what? Do you understand what I'm dealing with now? Enter him. Oh, the sisters, they don't like me anymore now. They're saying, where is he going now? You will bring all your salary and do what? Enter him. No, and the rib which God had taken from man made ye a woman and brought her unto the man. That's how it is done. I have prayed that God will make our husbands men of space that can give us space to do what? To enter. But once God has brought you, enter. Just put your head inside. That is your space. And I would like to say to you, it is from there you can grow your leg, you can grow your hand, but as you are growing, you are only growing in him. A correct Christian marriage does not make a woman a dwarf. The woman is growing, but is growing where? Inside him. Even when she's becoming very spiritual, as spirituality, as wonderful as it is, nobody sees it outside. It's inside. And the more that woman is growing, you will see the husband. People will not know who is pumping the man up. Who is pumping the man up? Who is pumping the man up? The woman inside. As she's kicking inside, the man is moving. That's what God is looking for. God is not looking for a man who is standing here, a woman who is standing here. You say, how are you? Say, I am with him. You see, the language in Genesis chapter 2 did not introduce with. What did he introduce? Of. Of. Bone of my bones. Flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she's taken out of. Now, can I tell you when the language changed? And it became with. It was in Genesis chapter 3. When the devil came. When the devil spoiled their relationship. When the devil scattered them. I want you to see that in Genesis 3, their marriage was terribly affected. Do you know that in chapter 3 of Genesis, when God came and said, Adam, where are you? It is interesting for me to tell you that actually at the beginning, he said, male and female made he them. And he called them, what did he call them? Adam. In the beginning, they only have one name. No two names. Adam. Male Adam, female Adam. That's how they are. But in chapter 3, verse 11, The Lord was asking the man, who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that thou shouldest not eat? And what did the man say? Huh? Huh? The woman whom thou gavest to do what? To be with. Was that the language in chapter 2? This time, the woman. When he was saying the woman, how did it appear in your ears? It appeared as if the woman is far, far, far away. But they were together. They were standing at the same spot. The woman. Excuse me, sir. Do you remember the woman? Which woman? The woman whom thou gavest to be with me. Do you remember? She. Something has separated them. She's no more of me. She's of herself. She gave me and I ate. Do you know that in that chapter, the name of the woman changed? Eh? Do you remember? It was in chapter 3 that Adam decided to give his wife another name. What is the name? Eve. You know the meaning of that? You know what he said? He said, let everybody bear his own identity. You are Eve. That's you. So that when next there's a problem, we will know who is who. Do you know that from that day, their relationship changed? She's no more of me. She's only with me.
This has been Living Seed. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198, email address lsmedia@livingseed.org, or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Make it a date with us next week.